Matthew's Gospel 28. We're looking at believers' meetings. Believers' meetings. I believe that in the Fortress Camp meeting 2019, there will be believers' meetings. And there will be that emphasis, I believe, to those who are organizing it. There will be believers' meetings as the participants will learn and know how to flow and follow the Holy Ghost. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And in the first service, and last week as well, we looked at Jesus' teaching. What was the emphasis? And earlier in the morning we said, in John's Gospel 14, 15 and 16, he had an emphasis on the Holy Ghost. The reason for, or the fruit of the, let's say the result of his resurrection. We said when he says eternal life or living water, that is the Spirit. John 7:37, Jesus came and said to them and cried, saying, if any thirst, let him come to me and drink. For as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. With those that believe on him should receive, but the Holy Ghost wasn't yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so we said, when you see the phrase water, life, living water, they all stem from descriptions of the work or the workings of the Spirit. So at the new birth, a man is washed by the Spirit, John 3:5. He's born by the Spirit, John 3:5. He's born of the Spirit and by the Spirit again, John 3:6 and John 3:8. That means to be born again. He has eternal life, John 3:16. He's a believer. Amen. See, I'm a believer. I'm born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And so because you're a believer, you are born of the Spirit. Now, one of the instructions that Jesus gave, and we said that in the first service, was in John 20:22. You may have to listen to that to understand the background here. In John 20:22, it says, receive of the Spirit. In Luke 24:49, it says, you'll be endued with power from on high. In Acts 1:8, it says, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is come on you. And so we said, the Holy Ghost coming upon is you receiving power. Or we looked at the word lambano. Lambano means to take off or take from. So where were they supposed to receive from or receive off? They were meant to receive from or receive off the Holy Ghost already dwelling in them. So when you read the book of Acts, don't be confused at the term receive the Holy Ghost. Don't be confused. Let me give you a background of the book of Acts. Some very, very simple information. Now, I know I said this in the series in Genesis for the purpose of those of you who don't come around at certain times. Let me repeat it so that you understand. Now, you know, in the way the way the books are, you will find, for example, in scripture really, Malachi is before Zechariah. But in the arrangement, Zechariah comes before Malachi. So it's the arrangement. For example, Job is a book that was written quite early as well. It's said that the book of Job is a book written about the time of Genesis, for example. Now, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you have book of Acts. It seems like that's the sequence how things happened. Yes, but that's not when they were written. For example, much of Paul's letters were already written before the four Gospels were written. Not that they happened. You know, the four Gospels are history, or a history of what had already happened. It wasn't written when it was happening. So those who wrote it with a mindset of explaining what is in the epistles from the life of Jesus. Explain what is in the epistles from the life of Jesus. So, when they were writing, even though they had sufficient information, they were honest enough to write the true events. This is what happened. This is what Jesus said. This is where he went. This is what we said. And I always say that that is quite some discipline, because in writing what they wrote as though they did not know when they were writing it why Jesus died and why he rose from the dead. They had known that, but they shut themselves away from that so that they can write the correct and accurate events without the knowledge they now had when they were writing it. So, at the time they were writing it, for example, much of Paul's letters, I said it earlier, were in circulation. So, why then did they write it? They wrote it so they would show the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. How would it look like that Paul, from nowhere, maybe you stop reading in Malachi, they just read Romans chapter 1. I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. You say, who is Jesus Christ? That should be the first statement. Well, Jesus Christ, you know, he came. Where did he come to? Who is he? So therefore, they needed to give that documented information of things that they had all believed. Everybody had believed it. Everybody knew Jesus came, but they knew it by the words of the apostles, by their eyewitness and the words and the utterances with which they gave their evidence. So, at the time, for example, when the events of the book of Acts are taking place, the things that happened in the four Gospels were in words. They were not in any written form. They were in words. They were much of the words of the apostles, the 12 of them. We are witnesses of these things, they say. We were witnesses of the things which he did. So they said that. So what spread around the churches was the witness, the eyewitness accounts of the apostles. And Paul made use of it. For example, in Acts 13, when he's preaching, he mentions John the Baptist. John the Baptist has no book in the Bible, but John the Baptist was known by the 12. And in Acts 1, verse 20 through to 24, when they were going to choose who was going to replace Judas, they said he must have been with us from the baptism of John. So they knew about John the Baptist. Where did Paul know about John the Baptist? He knew that from the apostles, the 12 of them, Matthias inclusive. So why then was the four Gospels written? The four Gospels was written to now put in a written form what the 12 had been preaching already. So they will restrict themselves to the eyewitness account of Jesus before his resurrection and after his resurrection, but largely before his resurrection. Now, why then was the book of Acts written? The book of Acts was written in the same vein, to document events of the things that happened upon his resurrection, however this time around, in the church or the churches. So, what the four Gospels did about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus, God becoming a man, is exactly what the book of Acts has done. The book of Acts has equally written an eyewitness account, pay attention, an eyewitness account of the fulfillment of the prophecy of the resurrection of Jesus amongst men. Amongst men. What now happened amongst men? Now, if you are writing eyewitness account, you cannot afford to overshadow it with revelation. Revelation is what I now knew by the Spirit. What I knew by the Spirit cannot be eyewitness account. Now, there's a way I can write eyewitness account with the benefit of the insight I have by the Spirit, but it mustn't overshadow it. What do I mean? For example, when Matthew 8:16-17 says he cast out the Spirit in his word, that it might be fulfilled that which was written, said by the spoken prophet Isaiah, that himself bore our infirmities Now, of course, when he read, when he said that, that came to him upon the resurrection of Jesus. Just like John 2, when it says Jesus spoke about his body, when it says destroy this temple, John 2:19, after 3 days I raised again. They didn't understand what he was saying when he said it. But in his resurrection, they now remembered. So oftentimes they will resort to what they now knew afterwards, but much of the time they wrote as though they knew nothing, because that's the true fact. Now, in the book of Acts as well, it's not a book where they wrote anything that is revelational. It's what the eyes can see and what the ears can hear. And the effects that they can see. What is the effect of this? What are the things I can write down and you can find out all by yourself? That's why in the book of Acts, you will not find God being called Father outside two places. Acts 1:4, the words of Jesus, the promise of my Father. Acts 2:33, we have received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Did you notice that? When Peter was using the word Father again, he was like repeating what Jesus had said in Acts 1:4. So in other words, from Acts 2 downwards, that's 33 now, God is not referred to as Father. And in the same breath, believers are not called sons of God. Not once. Not once. They are not called sons of God. Because if you don't call God, God Father, you can call believers sons of God. But Jesus is called the Son. And even in Jesus being called the Son, it is very subtle, not exactly pronounced. Why is it so? Because you don't know the Son of God by eyewitness. But the person who wrote it knew he's the Son of God, but because of the purpose of the book, he restricts himself to an eyewitness account. Believers, you won't find also the phrase church used for the body of Christ. Church is used for gathering, physical gathering, throughout the book of Acts. Because the body of Christ, when you use the phrase the body of Christ, it is like a spiritual reality. So the writer of the book of Acts does not use revelational themes, revelational words, or concepts. He restricts himself to eyewitness accounts. And let me say this before I say where I was going, before I get to where I was going. Just like you will not find him say, and the Spirit of God was in them. That can't be eyewitness. You can't say, and I saw the Spirit of God in them. He said, didn't you see it too? No, that's a revelation. To know the Spirit within us will be to know we are sons. To know we are sons will be to know that we are in Christ. To know we are in Christ will know the body of Christ. Those are revelation truths. They are not eyewitness accounts. And that's how the epistles were written, because the epistles were called revelation. But the book of Acts is eyewitness. But you know something? The eyewitness account affirms the revelation. So if I now say, the Spirit of God is in you, it wouldn't be difficult because people must have also seen the Spirit of God upon you. So the phrase, the Spirit upon, which you are going to see in the entire book of Acts, Acts 1:8, Acts 2:16, I pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Acts 8:15, he had fallen, 16, he had fallen upon none of them. He had fallen upon none of them. Spirit upon. Acts 10, verse 45. Upon the Gentiles was poured the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:45. Upon. Acts 19:6. As Paul laid his hands, the Spirit of God came upon. Upon. So the phrase upon is used for what the believers did by the Spirit. The phrase upon or Spirit upon is what the believers did by the Spirit. Now let me ask you, where was the Spirit when they did that? Huh? In them. But can you write eyewitness account and say, I saw the Spirit in them? That's not an eyewitness account. An eyewitness account is like a journalist. He must give evidence. If you ask, did they speak with tongues? Yes. They spoke with tongues because people heard them. That spirit upon. But where was the spirit when they spoke with tongues? In them. But you can't write that as eyewitness account. So the eyewitness account will be the eyewitness account of what the Spirit of God had done in man. What the Spirit of God had done in man. Eyewitness account, what Jesus did to human eye. He died on the tree. He rose from the dead. They saw his physical body. They touched him. But there was much more that he did. There was much more that he did. When he rose, he came to live in us. He told them in John 14, verse 16, 17, and 20, in that day you know I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. But that was not written in the book of Acts. Because you can't see Jesus in them in the book of Acts by eyewitness. You have to know that by the Spirit. Let me see how I can follow what I'm saying here. Come on. So that means when you read the book of Acts, you have to understand it's a book of what? Eyewitness. Or a book of what men saw. I'm not sure it was E.W. Kenyon who said this, but it wasn't E.W. Kenyon. I think a friend of mine did. He said, not exactly a perfect explanation. He said the book of Acts is what men saw. Right? The four gospels is what men saw. He said, but the epistles is what God saw. Now, what it simply means is, what God did in us is in the epistles. What he does through us is where? In the book of Acts. Does it make sense? Does it make sense now? So you must know the reason for those books. So it's like explaining the epistles. Now, you're explaining the things within the epistles from an eyewitness perspective. From a journalist perspective. So, whilst the epistles focus more on the church as a body, the book of Acts focused on the church as what? A gathering. That's why, whilst the book of Acts focused on the use of the word disciples, the epistles will use the word in Christ, saints, more, right? Sons of God, children of God, spiritual terms. But disciple is not a spiritual term. Disciple is an eyewitness term. Somebody who is learning. Who is learning. Yet, the epistles will say, you have known God in your spirit. You can't write that as eyewitness account. So, the book of Acts, when you read, they receive the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean that's the first time that the Holy Ghost came to them. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying here. They are already born of the Holy Ghost. Born of the Spirit. Born again. So whenever you read the book of Acts, see it like the outpouring of the Spirit. Outpouring of the Spirit. The epistles, the indwelling of the Spirit. Which one came first? Which one came first? So that means the outpouring is built on what? The indwelling. So a perfect understanding of the book of Acts is to understand the epistles. The indwelling is what brings about the outpouring. So the indwelling is what brings about the outpouring. Say it again, the indwelling is what brings about the outpouring. Say again, the indwelling is what brings about the outpouring. Give me another name for the indwelling. Born of the Spirit, yeah. What again? What is it? Eternal life. Yeah, what else? That's beautiful. What else? Born again. Right? Alright. In Christ. Christ in you. Beautiful. So the things we saw the disciples do, including the apostles, in the book of Acts, is because they are in Christ. Because they are born again. So, receiving the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, is that salvation? Is that salvation? What is it? The action of the believers. We looked at the active words. Lambano, receive. Enduo, take upon yourself. They are verbs. And so we said in the first service, Jesus lets us know that the things of the Spirit ought to be taught. He taught them what to do. There are things you ought to be taught on what to do. Remember when I told you the story of a brother that I wanted to get filled with the Holy Ghost? And there are three of them actually. There's one of them, because we're friends. I spent time, now he's an apostle. That's what he said he is. He's all over the world now. I saw him in South Africa the other day. He went to, I think, India. But I can always make fun of him. I know how you got filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, he was saved just about the time I was saved, but he wasn't speaking in tongues for a while. Many reasons. One of them was the kind of church that he attended. You see, if you're exposed to a wrong information, you will mock at those who practice the right information. Because you're exposed to the wrong information. The wrong kind of information. Hallelujah. You're exposed to the wrong kind of information. Last week I taught a set of people about the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. It was in the Bible school. And a man came up to me, he said, you know, before you taught us, I thought that things like laughing in the Holy Ghost, that's how we call it, laughing in the Holy Ghost, that it was just one crazy thing they were doing in America, Kenneth Hagin. He said, but maybe because of the time you took to explain to us. He said, I couldn't imagine myself. I didn't just laugh well in the class. When I got to the room, it was like I was drunk. So the reason is, you have been exposed to the right kind of information. And it did not happen in a Facebook post. I had taken days, hours. That's why you should be grateful to those who teach you. Always be grateful. Be very grateful. Extremely grateful to those who teach you. Those who give you information. And he said, I just couldn't see. I said, I had laughed at it before. I had mocked it. That's what he said. He said, but when you taught about the Holy Ghost, it was now clear to me. So sometimes it's the information. So my friend, the denomination he was at, they had told them how to receive the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. If I was in one of the conferences, one of the camps in 1989, when they said, you have to sanctify, take the root of sin out of your life, then cleanse the vessel. It's a process. Then you will not tarry. After all that, you have not started tarrying, you know. You will tarry to carry. You will first of all destroy anything that will hinder the Holy Ghost. I once asked one of my leaders then, I said, can the Holy Ghost do it by himself? He said, no. Because I felt, if he's that powerful, this root of sin we're trying to remove, let him just come and remove the root. From the root. You know? So he had believed that. Then he had now become a leader. You know? When you become a leader in ignorance, you begin to use your ignorance and experience. He had become a leader. So he was, now when you become a leader in ignorance, you will now be battling your ego. No! I know what I'm saying. We know you know it. In 1905, in AD 26, when I was a small boy, your experiences have now colored your interpretation of scriptures. Just like healing. Some people actually still believe that God can use healing to teach them a lesson. They do. They believe it. They believe it. Some believe God made them poor to make them humble. Some believe it. Some believe that God killed somebody else. I told you yesterday, the death of Jesus exonerates God forever on who kills. the very death of Jesus, except it was suicide. Because if you are the one that kills, and you now die, is what? Huh? Suicide. Why would you commit suicide? Then you can't call it a sacrifice. But he didn't kill himself. I said he didn't kill himself. I said he didn't kill himself. Hallelujah. That exonerates God. Sometimes the ignorance. And you believe you... Have you ever met people who think that they know? I call it the arrogance of ignorance. And they are very arrogant at it. What am I talking about? What am I talking about? They look at you. Some people look at the car you drive before they listen to what you are preaching. It's Uber. They look at you. They look at how you are talking. Say, young man, you are bubbling with knowledge and zeal. Go open your eyes. A friend of mine said, he had gone to see his mother-in-law. Maybe I've shared this story many times. And he's talking about deliverance. So he said it took a while, hours I think, to explain the concept of deliverance and salvation. He said, mommy, this is the word of God. The woman said, wow. She felt her eyes were open. You know, she all the questions he asked, he answered. He asked her, he answered it. Say, thank God for his grace. And then he said, how about that job you said you were looking for? Then he said, I'm still at it. He said, don't you think you need deliverance like that? Are you doing all this teaching? Are you looking for a job? So there's no deliverance. If there's any proof that there's deliverance, it's your case. See how she interpreted the word of God. Hallelujah. Some guys are like that. So this friend of mine, back then anyway, he didn't believe it. He would smile. I gave him books. There are two of them. There's one I've told you. I don't think I've ever said this one before. Maybe I have, but not recently. The first one was the one I took to Ibadan. Remember that one? I think I mentioned his name before. Ibadan. Taking somebody from Lagos Ibadan to speak in tongues. I had done everything God said to do. I laid hands, laid legs. I blew. That happened. And the thing is that some people can so discourage you that when you now see somebody else, you won't want to lay hands again. So that you will not become two. Two bad experiences. Hallelujah. You know, I took him to Ibadan. To Pastor Dakmoguni, he said, young man, he just gone to the, I said, if you don't get filled with the Holy Ghost in this place, then it's the will of God. As Pastor D came up, he didn't say anything. But Yare Zevaye was the one who exhorted that day. He got up and said, you're not filled with the Holy. And it was a leak. It was not like we're 10. But about 300 people. Then he picked somebody. I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Imagine you are thanking God for what doesn't belong to you. Thank God. God. Yes, you. God. That's how he spoke in other tongues. From 1992 to 1995. How many years did you do ministry? In how many years was Jesus' ministry? That was spending 3 years on you. And I say the long suffering of God. Is that not long suffering, you know? This other one, I gave him books. I now went to give him the tract that got me to be assured of the gift of the Holy Ghost. He read it. He just said, I've seen it. The day I was so glad that he was going to talk in tongues. In fact, that day I felt the glory of God. You know, when you are, I was in fasting, so I was, you know, when you are fasting, you feel the presence of God because your body is light. You don't know? And it's good to feel that way. I said, today, I said, Brother Tosin is going to be filled with the Holy Ghost today. No, I was determined. And when you had read people like Archbishop Idahosa, boldness. Kenneth Hagin, boldness, T.L. Osborne. So I was going in their strength. Says today. I laid hands on him. I said, let it flow. Yes. Started talking. I thought it was tongues. Till I heard the rubbish he was saying. Do it, Lord. Have your way, Lord. I'm like giving him a dirty slap. Why was it that difficult? He had gotten the wrong information. Some of us have a rapture. You've heard rapture so much. If you hear, Jesus is coming now. Not soon. Now. You know, soon is still like, now, eh? Was one crusade we organized. Myself and my colleagues. It's a long time. Yes, I had not even begun the ministry then. We heard the world was going to come to an end. You know the year? No, we know the year. That year, it was 1992. Then we had tracks. I don't want to mention the name of the church so that they won't feel bad. Some will be in purple, some will be in red. When someone starts printing tracks in that color, he's passing a message. It's coming soon. 666. I said, they now said it was 92. So we organized the program. And that day of the program, it now rained heavily. What other proof do you want? Come and see altar call. There was one notorious guy who came out. Even me knew this guy is not saved. It is this rain that is bringing this guy. You've heard rapture so much that if you still see it today, someone say, I heard Jesus when I got born again and when I heard rapture. If every sermon of rapture, I got born again. Every sermon. If you want to get me to come out, it's rapture. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And I'll come out. And there are other songs. There's one song I want to remember. Some will be crying, some will be weeping. Oh, had I known, had I known, had I known. When the trumpets sound, many, many people will be disappointed. Why are you happy at that? Some will be crying, some will be singing. Oh, had I known, had I known. Are you be happy? On the rapture day, yes. When the trumpet sounds, many, many people will be disappointed. Some will be singing, some will be crying. Oh, had I known, had I known. You are even parting it. Had I known. You know, there was a day like that. I was listening to a tape I listened to. Before, on the white drone judgment, if you know that teaching, what it did to my ministry and my life. Some of you say, I'll give unto Caesar what is Caesar. On that day, you will recognize Caesar. Imagine that kind of sermon. You know, years later, when I got a hold of the truth of redemption and the grace of God in Christ, I listened to the same teaching, I was laughing. I said, you mean this made me cry? I must have been an idiot. That's the way I said to myself, how can this make me cry? Did you get it? So if you have been exposed to information for a long time, and you are now a leader, pastor, reverend, they now put doctor in the middle. There's trouble. Because what you are usually angry at is not what the person is saying. It's what you used to believe. You can't tell me that. You can't tell me that. So it took him 3 years. Because I'm sure he must have told other people, you cannot have the Holy Ghost now. He must have said it himself. So his ego is now in the issue. The kind of information you have about healing. Maybe the first people who told you about healing is that, you know, is how God does it to me. As I'm looking at me like this, I prayed for people and they died. Eh? And that's the kind of information you heard. You've heard information about people who were sick as Christians and all, most of the things you heard, they died in their sickness. That's what you've heard for years. So healing might become a myth to you. It's a myth. Sometimes when people talk about the miracles of healing, you probably say, let's find out where. One of the things that got me, you know, the way I got healed was very, very interesting. After the doctor had passed a sentence, as it were, on me, and gave me months to live, 27 years ago. And I just had this. And this is very vital. As I heard it, my mom was sad, my dad was, I just had this, don't give up. You know, and that's an attitude in itself. I said, don't give up. And I just remembered songs about healing. And I'm so grateful that the ministry I was in then, they never said things like, you can't be healed. Maybe that helped me. So I didn't give up. I just said, no, I'm going to leave. I didn't have scripture and verse. But I'd heard, why didn't I have scripture and verse? I wasn't listening well. But I knew I was going to leave. All the scriptures I knew best was holiness, heaven, sanctification. So I didn't really understand healing like that. I'd seen people get healed. I'd even been asked to pray for somebody to be healed, but I didn't believe the person would be healed. I just prayed. But now, I said, no. I will be healed. I will be. Until I now got the book by Charles and Francis Hunter, To Heal the Sick. I shared that story a lot. And I read it. And I got the book in the house of a Muslim. Feeling sick all over my body. I got down from the bed. I said, from today, I declare I'm healed. And I'm going to take the healing power to the ends of the earth. I was no longer considering the pain. I was still feeling pains. I said, I'm going to take the healing power to the nations of the world. The next thing I did was to organize a healing meeting. What I'm saying is, years later, when someone started to prove that healing is not now, it's past. You can't say that again. I was already healed. I'd gotten the experience of it. I knew what it means to look at a doctor's report and say, no issues. The word is working. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong in doctors. You know, doctors can help you, but when they can't help you, God's power can help you. Hallelujah. See, I believe in miracles. You didn't say it like me. I believe in miracles. Say, I believe in miracles. You have to, because you don't know when you need one. You don't know when you need one. Glory to God. So sometimes it's the kind of information. The kind of information that you have. About the gifts of the Spirit. About the things of the Spirit. Someone told me, said, but sir, is it biblical to fall under the power? That's what he asked me. Why did he ask that question? That question is not normal. You know why? Because when you say power and say fall under, it should explain itself. But you are asking that question because somebody somewhere had mocked it. Maybe you believed in the person. Say, boy, all this falling, all this falling. God does not make people fall, he makes them rise. Hey! Then I said to him, look at how I answered him. Before I answered later, I said, but Paul fell under the power. I said, then he was not saved. I said, if he fell under the power and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, start falling. So somebody wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and he fell under the power. And you are asking that question. He said, that's punchline, right? Is that punchline? God is attention. So sometimes there's another brother like that. That brother, we used to call him Mantu. I gave him the name actually, Mantu. Because the brother is always wearing handkerchief. But with all his Mantu, he never spoke in tongues. I laid everything available on him. But this one didn't take years. Just a few months. I taught him. There was a day I said I was going to do exegesis with him personally. After I was done, I said, now let us, you know, practice what you have learned. Just was doing like this. I said, bro, yield now. I'm trying. But there was one sister then in our ministry. Somehow she has this special ministry, as it were, a laying of hands. Remember, I took her to one meeting I preached. And I had a lot of people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I had a short period. And I knew her. She got my mom filled with the Holy Ghost. I couldn't. She got my mom filled with the Holy Ghost in less than 1 minute. So I just got up, lay hands on them. They saw her in trousers. They were looking somehow. Before they finished looking, they were all under the power of God speaking in tongues. So when I saw, when Mantu became a problem, I spoke to Mantu. Mantu didn't speak in tongues. As that sister entered, said, "Thank you, Jesus. Take him away." I'm a pastor. See, while we were yet speaking, Mantu came back speaking in tongues. And the sister has such a special ministry. You know, she doesn't do explanation. Pam, tongues, pam, 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 pam. So whenever I don't have time, come, do. No need for teaching. When you do that, I'll teach later. But the truth is, you know, people have the wrong information. The wrong information. So many times, you need to remove what you have learned before. Unlearn it. From the songs you used to sing, Gordon Gray said, "Show me the songs you sing, I'll tell you your theology." I agree with that. In the little while I've been teaching, if there's a way you get people's attention in Bible team, sing a song that they like. If they were sleeping before they wake up, I learned it from Jerry Savelle. Jerry Savelle said he was an unbeliever. His wife was a Christian. His wife would take him to church, a Baptist church. And he would go there and sleep. Oni. Listen to the words. Forget about it. He would doze. So one day, then I brought Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland was not preaching. He said he was sleeping. Looking at who is this proud Texan? Proud. He said he was proud. Not boasting. Bragging. So then suddenly, Brother Copeland now, and Brother Copeland does that a lot. He just said, "Choir, what you just sang is nonsense. It's not his church, oh, where pastors, oh." He said, "That song is full of unbelief. Don't sing it again." Jerry Savelle was not listening to the sermon, oh. He just got up and said, what does he mean? Who is he? There are two books God wrote, the Bible and the Baptist hymn now. So I knew that songs get to people. Songs get people's attention a lot. Just sing a song. They look at, there was a song like that I used in the service I taught some time ago. The choir just sang it. I'll be where they, I said, "I'm going to use this song." As I mentioned it, I said, "Don't get angry, oh. Please, listen to me first." Hallelujah. So sometimes it's the kind of information you have. Sometimes it's the kind of experiences you have had. Or the movies you have watched. They say, there's devilish tongues. Are you the devil to speak it? There's devilish tongues. So, a whole number of times, what affects people is a wrong kind of information. Brother Higgins used to say, wrong thinking produces wrong believing. Wrong believing produces wrong speaking. And wrong speaking produces the wrong actions. If you think wrong, you believe wrong. If you believe wrong, you speak wrong. When you speak wrong, you're going to act wrong. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When the doctrine you hear from the scripture is not a doctrine of Christ, you'll be very mean. You'll be very judgmental. Very mean. Some guys are very mean. They are believers, but they are mean. Why are they mean? Because the doctrine they listen to is about a mean, angry, sanguinary God. And so, they don't have a problem with asking someone else to die. It doesn't matter to them whether they're holding a grudge. No, it doesn't matter. Because they believe God does it too. That's why James says, a double-minded man. Dipsosuchos in the Greek. That is double thinking, double personality. He says he's unstable in all his ways. And in the same breath, Say, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. James 1. Read from verse 6 to 8, then from verse 13, down to verse 16. Say, therefore, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every power is from above, down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So, first of all, settle it in your heart who God is. When that happens, it will affect your character. She said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath, verse 18, of his own will begat he us, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the firstfruit of his own creature. So if God doesn't tempt with evil, those who are a kind of the firstfruit of his creatures are not made to do evil. Say, I'm born of God. I reflect his character. So if you sort that out in your mind, who God is, he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will be double-minded. You'll be singularly focused on the character of God in Christ. Say, therefore, my beloved, be swift to hear, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So you can be double-minded. And they are believers just like that. So they are mean. They are born again, no doubt. But they are mean. For the kind of things they hear, the kind of prayers they pray, even the kinds of songs they sing. Somebody is always their enemy. Somebody is after them. And they are also Africans. They are angry. There are sermons that make you angry. And anger is a sin. Hallelujah. You read everything. When someone puts the value of men based on money, and that's what they preach, that is how you will read the Bible. You will think that that is how God sees men. Yesterday we did a study on the book of Genesis. And a brother chatted me on Facebook. He said, sir, what you saw yesterday for me, you don't know the import. I said, what do you mean? He said, so, Jacob did not get blessed with the blessing of Abraham when he cheated his brother. He said, do you know that that has been used wrongly? Because I showed you yesterday what the blessing was. He said, I never knew that Jacob was the one that even bowed to Esau. Because when you are taught wrongly, you will selectively read scriptures. Sometimes it's wrong information. How can God call his blessing material things? That would be horrible. That would be horrible. How can he call the promise? That's not it. That would make us miserable. Because we are going to find what he calls his blessedness outside of his son. They will be confused. This blessedness is found in unbelievers, sir. You say, shut up. Don't ask me questions. You call it his promise. You call it his blessedness. And the ungodly have it. But glory to God. Glory to God. Light is shining. And darkness cannot comprehend it. All over Nigeria. All over Africa, the light of the word of God is shining. Oh, it's shining big and big and big and big and big. Praise God. Hallelujah. Veils are taken away. Scales are falling off. Minds are open. Lives are transformed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Alright. So wrong information. Some guys were giving till they heard. How can a Christian hear that tithing is not New Testament? Then he stops giving. There's something wrong with him. How can the truth make you stop doing the right thing? How can the truth make you stop doing the right thing? So, because you heard that there's no condemnation to you in Christ Jesus, the forgiveness is yours in his name. The sin doesn't come between you and God. See, that has now inspired you to bring out cutlass and stab somebody. No. You are always a hypocrite. That's what it was. You were always a hypocrite. If you were giving because you thought someone was going to come back to you, and then you said, no, it's generosity, you stop giving. You were never a giver. You were never one. So the word of God doesn't make you do wrong things. It exposes your hypocrisy. Hallelujah. Forgiveness is harmless. God's forgiveness doesn't harm anybody. It is man's hypocrisy that harms others. Did you hear what I just said? So, sometimes it's kind of information. When a church places value on people's worth, academically, materially, socially, it changes the doctrine of Christ. The same thing has to do with the things of the Spirit. It must never be taught from the perspective of the minister in charge of a church. The moment it is taught from that point, the moment it is taught the things of the Holy Ghost are taught primarily from experience, it will make people disillusioned. The Holy Ghost and His workings, we said in the first service, must be taught primarily as the indwelling, the new birth. When you got born again, God began to live in you. Hallelujah. That's what happened. So when you hear God will in a new covenant, He will within the believer. You know what we call the rapture? The rapture is the only thing expected today that God will do in that sense. What we call the resurrection of the body. The rapture. Right? The resurrection of the body. And it appears like, so God will come. Christ will come. When He shall come with trumpet sound, when He shall come, come to us, come to us. No. Paul calls it the manifestation. That is a full disclosure. Romans 8:19. John says, when He shall appear, we shall be as He is. But we are the sons of God now. The manifestation. 1 Corinthians 15:45-46 calls it the second Adam. He says He's the last Adam. He says the life-giving Spirit who raises from the dead. Ephesians 4:30 says the Holy Spirit is the seal of that redemption. How is God going to raise this physical body from mortality to immortality? It is by His Spirit at work in you. God working in the new covenant is in the believer. So, the most effective way to understand and function in the things of the Spirit is to understand your rights and privilege in Christ. Your identity, the identification truth in Christ, make you effective. You don't sing in the Spirit because the atmosphere is conducive. You don't rejoice in the Spirit because the song is playing. You don't have a word of knowledge because we have done a lot of praying. No, you don't have a word of wisdom because someone laid hands on you. You don't see visions because you fasted. You don't heal the sick because you felt goosebumps. You do those things first because you are born again. Hallelujah. Let that first dawn on your mind. Because you are born again. Interestingly, something I don't do often, I shared an experience somewhere last week that I never shared with you before. So I promised myself, no matter what I'm teaching today, I'm going to share that experience again. My first crusade with the African Invasion Mission, we had a crusade in late 1994. And we went to this place, it's now in Ekiti, but it used to be Ondo then. And when we went for that crusade, most of you know the story. Let me just give you the background so I get to the part that I don't normally talk about. When we went for the crusade, of course, we were scared by some women that came to meet us, and then I didn't know what, it was my first experience, so when they came to greet us and all that, my boss then said, they came to test our power. Power? I thought you came to give good news. Which one is power? We're trying to organize for the crusade, and we had different interactions with spiritual forces. So the very night that we slept, everyone in the team, the females and the males, we all had the same dreams. Together, in one accord. We saw monkeys. I got up at night, everybody's praying. I said, this place is far from Lagos, though. If I start running, you know, I was in the bottom now, so I know how to run. If I start, one time we went to watch a football game, and then the other team, because we were beating them, decided to fight. I jumped down from the popular stand in the stadium down. My neck went da, and I moved. So I said I will also run. But if I start running from here, where will I get to Lagos? So when we had the crusade, they brought someone who was crippled for us to pray for. And my interpreter, because I was the one making noise. Yes, Jesus Christ! Well, I used to watch E.W. Shambach back then. So I'm saying, I'm telling you! In a place where they don't speak English. You think, so I was just making noise. I was shouting. So, then, because it was a small community, they now brought in a crippled girl for us to lay hands on. So you said, Jesus is Lord. Well, we can't do this. You have to do this. Or else, you'll be out of this place. My interpreter, far older than I was, asked me to do the praying. Since he's interpreting, I was one preacher. Now, this is the part that normally don't used to say, but I'll say it today. So when I laid hands, I closed my eyes. Remember that part? Now, let me tell you the part I never used to say. What was in my mind? I was actually thinking of how to escape. I'd never said this part before. You know, I like telling stories in parts and parts. I was thinking, if I jump down and I start running, then I say, the way we came, I think there was... What's in the hostel? There was nothing I need immediately. I have money in my pocket. I can go. I can... Okay. I never used to say this part. But I'm saying it today. I'm confessing all my sins. But good and gracious enough, as I said, in the name of Jesus, from the sound of the crowd, the girl began to walk. And I said, yes! I told you! Hallelujah! I said that we serve a living God. He's not a dead God. He's the same yesterday. It had to be spirits. Because my mind was elsewhere. Hallelujah. The reason why God walks through you is because you are born again. You are born again. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul, writing to the church, he says, now, verse 1, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Listen carefully. The background of this statement, which I showed you last week, was that he had called them spiritual by the fact, virtue of being born again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 1. So when I came to you, I came not in the essence of your speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined to know anything among you, nothing among you, except Christ and him crucified. I was with you in much weakness, fear, and trembling. And my speech, verse 4, and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the spirit and the power, that your faith, verse 5, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So, albeit we speak this wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of the kingdom of God, the prince of this world that come to nothing. So Paul is saying, the gospel I'm preaching is not intellectual prowess. Then he says, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, with none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, Paul says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For it is written, eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. So eyes not seen it, ears not hearing it, the heart of man not receiving it refers to those who do not believe. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The world thinks knoweth the things of a man. He says, but the Spirit of man which is in him. So the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So we have received the Spirit which knows this world is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We think thus we speak, not in the world with man's wisdom teacheth, with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. So but a natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. He said he doesn't know them because they are spiritually discerned. So he first calls the believer there. He's spiritual. So he says, I'm comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. Then he says, the spiritual man judges all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Who has known the mind of the Lord, he says, that he might instruct him. He says, we have the mind of Christ. So he calls the believer spiritual. Why he's spiritual? He has received the Spirit of God. Why is he spiritual? He's born of the Spirit of God. Why is he spiritual? He has received the information of the gospel by the Spirit of God. Say, I'm spiritual. Say, I'm spiritual. Now, when you say I'm spiritual, you mean you are born of the Spirit? Is that what you mean? Is that what you mean? So in chapter 10, when he uses the word spiritual again this time around, he's talking about the fathers who passed through the sea. He says they did drink of the same spiritual drink. They ate of the same spiritual meat, drank of the same spiritual drink, and then said they also of the same rock, the spiritual, and the rock that followed them, he said, is Christ. Now, when he uses spiritual there, it refers to the utterance of the Spirit. So, in chapter 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, or concerning the gifts that accompany getting born again. Hallelujah. So the gifts are in the new birth. Hallelujah. The gifts are in the new birth. You have a better understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. Or like I like to say, the gifts in the Spirit. When you have an understanding of who you are. You are God's temple. You are his house. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple of the Holy Ghost. See, I'm spiritual. I'm born of the Spirit of God. Naturally, I function in the Spirit. Naturally, I know how to yield to the Spirit of God. You know, it's natural for you to breathe, for you to see. Why is it so? Because they are part and parcel of you. So to function in the Holy Ghost is natural to you. Romans chapter 8. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, verse 9, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any has not the Spirit of Christ, it is none of his. Glory to God. You are born of the Spirit of God. And you are in the Spirit. See, I'm in the Spirit. That's where we're going to start from in the meetings to come. You are not starting from an experience. You are starting from a nature. That's where you're going to start from. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Paul says, has made you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son, like the sinful flesh, to condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, those who are of the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Those who are of the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For the spiritually minded, carnal mind is death, the spiritual mind is life and peace. So the carnal mind is not enmity towards God, nor so the Lord God, neither can it be. So those are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Why are you in the Spirit? The Spirit of God dwells in me. Said, if Christ be in you, the body is dead to sin, we know. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that works, and does work in you and dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh, to live out the flesh. Well, if you live out the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit mortify the things of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Led there doesn't mean direction. Led there means you are taken from the flesh into the spirit, from darkness into light, from works to faith, hallelujah, to grace, from the flesh to the spirit, from Satan to the power of God. Say, I've been led by the Spirit of God. I'm in a new terrain now. I'm in a new location now. I'm in the spirit now. So why? Because we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs together with Jesus. Joint heirs together with Jesus. Heirs of God and joint heirs together with Jesus. I am in the spirit. I am spiritual. I am spiritual. I am spiritual. Because I'm born of the Spirit. I am spiritual. The things of the Spirit are natural to me. My identification produces my experiences. My experiences don't produce my identification. My identification leads to my experiences. Because I'm born of the Spirit, I yield to the Spirit. I yield to the Spirit. Glory to God. Let's begin to close now. I yield to the Spirit. Someone say, I don't know. I don't know how to hear the voice of God. He said, I keep hearing two voices. I said, don't say that statement near me again. You know how to hear the voice of God. God is not an absentee father. He doesn't mentor us from afar. He mentors us from inside. The Father dwells in you. Hallelujah. You have not just found out what you know. But you know God's voice. You know God's voice. You know how He talks. Hallelujah. Because you are spiritual. See, I'm spiritual. See, I'm spiritual. And I produce spiritual experiences. See, I'm spiritual. I'm born of the Spirit of God. I am spiritual. I'm naturally spiritual. I'm naturally supernatural. I have the capacities of the Spirit functioning effectively in me and through me. And today, I subdue and subject every experience that is not aligning itself with the Word of God. I subdue and I subject every experience of mine that is not true according to God's Word. Hallelujah. What you'll be thinking about now is who you are. Stop thinking about the things that didn't work. Look at the things that worked. Let your mind be flowing now with the positive truth of God's word. Not negative experiences. You lay hands on the sick, they recover. You lay hands on yourself, you recover. You act on the word, you see the result of it. You are led by the Spirit of God. Stop thinking about the times you make mistakes. No! Let your mind be full! Or when you walk in the light. And you are sure, that's God speaking. I'm walking in it. Let not bad experiences fuel your thoughts. Let the Word fuel your thoughts. Let the Word fuel your thoughts. Let the Word fuel your thoughts. Let not that brother's experiences fuel your thought. Let not that sister's experiences fuel your thought. You don't yield to evil spirits. You yield to the Holy Ghost. You yield to the Holy Ghost. Because you are born of the Holy Ghost. You don't yield to the flesh. Because you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Woo! Glory to God. Your identity produces your experiences. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You don't need to find out whether what you did was in your grandfather. Whether your grandfather did it or not. No, that's not how to find things out. Someone said, well, I discovered that my great-grandfather too, I said, you are not really wise. James 1 tells us. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, therefore, laying apart, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. He says in verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted word. That means the word that gave birth to you. That is able to save your soul. You should be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, if any being here is likened unto a man who looks at his natural face. The word natural face there is Genesis, genealogy. In the mirror, he sees his genealogy. He sees the Father God. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your Genesis. If it's not in them, then it's not in you. You only copied it from somewhere. You are not naturally angry. You are not lustful. You are not immoral. No, you are not. Your genealogy is found in the Father God, in his Son Jesus Christ. That is the natural face in the mirror. But say, this man straight away forgets who he was. Forgetting doesn't mean loss of memory. It means he neglects that information. He quotes blogs more than he quotes the word. He quotes a psychologist more than he quotes the word. She quotes the doctors more than she quotes the word. She makes more references to something somebody said and an experience more than the word. But that is changing now. Let your utterance be filled with the word. I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. I can flow with the Holy Ghost. I can yield to the Holy Ghost. I can walk in the Spirit. I can do the things of the Spirit. I can say the things of the Spirit. I can see the things of the Spirit. My experiences are changing, aligning with the Word of God, with who I am in Christ. I am a believer. In believers' meetings, I don't watch, I participate. In believers' meetings, I don't look around, I act upon the Word. In believers' meetings, I am intelligent. I am intelligent. God made me intelligent. I'm spiritually intelligent. I'm supernaturally intelligent. I am born of the Spirit. I'm identified in the Spirit. I'm identified in Christ. And I walk in the light of it. Lift your hands and bless them. This is who.